Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
The Rising Suns in Phoenix, up 2-0 in the NBA Finals. The series now shifts to Milwaukee, but still a commanding 2-0 lead after last night's 118-108. Yes, the Suns are rising in the NBA Finals. The rain is pouring here in New York City and in the Northeast. Good morning, everybody. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Alan Hahn, Monica McNutt, in with Key. And yes, that weather is miserable today, but we do have a trophy. We do have some bling on the set right now. You could see it on ESPN2, our Market Madness Championship trophy. It is, in a word, Key?
Stunning.
Stunning?
Yes. Very stunning trophy here.
The winner of the
Market Madness Championship is who?
Yadi Molina.
That's right, Yadi
Molina. St. Louis Market showed out, yes. So I guess this trophy is going to...
St. Louis. Back to St. Louis.
St. Louis, yes.
They're bringing the trophy back home.
Another win for St. Louis.
That trophy something. Can I just tell
something.
You, though?
Something. It is something.
Yesterday...
Looked like somebody's wedding cake.
It does look like a wedding cake.
Oh, please. I'm judging you about
on
your
Etsy.
Wedding cake. On Etsy. There it is. That's exactly right. So yesterday I watched, because I do this some periodically when I need to laugh, our eulogy of the teams that lost in the Western Conference, because it cracked me up still.
Back.
It was on my Instagram.
Is legendary.
It's epic. So yeah, just wanted to share that.
Oh, I thought there was more to it.
Yeah, that's out of nowhere.
No, because I keep trying to convince you to do it again, but you like. Ugh.
No, I'm not going to do it again. The reason I'm not going to do it again
because I don't want to hear the reason. I already know. It's whatever. I don't care.
Okay. Well, you asked the question. So.
No, I didn't. I already know.
You said
I keep trying to convince you to do it.
Yeah, I don't
know. I know the reason.
Maybe
but it was great. It was a great moment.
Maybe after the series
Finals
is over.
Yeah,
is this series over at 2-0? Key, you said it yesterday, 89% of the time in the NBA Finals, when a team takes a 2-0 lead, they go on to win the championship.
It's probably. I mean, I think when you go, first of all, home court advantage is key, right? You get that. You start off 2-0.
Yep.
The Bucks have come back at times, but not the final. It's there's a different pressure the deeper you go in the playoffs. It's just a deeper pressure. The series in one, round two, three. You know, it just gets – now you're in the finals. When you're down 2-0 in the finals, man, it's hard as hell. And I know you can point to LeBron James. Oh, he did it different.
Different. Well, as any series, and especially that one, and this series, of course, is still early, something has to happen. Just like,
but it's not early.
The Bucks,
no.
To flip it.
But it's not early.
Well, it's getting late to be early. You're right.
You think about it. They've already played two games. All they need to do is win two more, and they're going to have a ticker tape.
Now remember,
in downtown Phoenix,
the Nets were up 2-0 on the Bucks, and I mean, the Bucks didn't look like they should even be in the series on the same court.
Different.
They win game three, and then something had to happen. Kyrie Irving got hurt in game four. Series flips, and then it goes seven.
Yeah, but you're asking the man upstairs.
I'm not asking anything because I don't want to see it happen.
Well, not you, but whatever. Bucks.
All right.
They're asking the man upstairs to do him a favor. Take somebody and put him on the side for a few games. That's what.
So basically you're saying an injury is the only way this series changes.
That, for Chris Paul, like, makes my heart hurt even thinking about
it.
Yes.
I don't even want to put that out in the
world
right now.
I think – I'm not superstitious like that, so it doesn't really matter
fine,
to me.
Good.
Yes, I think it. I think pretty much, it's over because I don't know that Phoenix, which has played well, Monica, on the road, has played well on the road throughout the playoffs. So I don't know if going back to Milwaukee is intimidating to them. All they got to do is get one.
That's right.
Just get one.
Absolutely.
Just
split,
get one.
Split in Milwaukee, and now you've got control.
And my original thought, what I was going to say there, Monica and Alan, is. The deeper you go in these type of situations, the tighter things get for you. Now you start to think, I cannot make this mistake. If I shoot this three and I miss, if I do this, it's a, because you don't have the margin for error where you do in other situations. In a regular season, you have that margin for error. Early in the playoffs, you might feel different. But this is it. This is it.
In the NFL, how big is home field advantage?
I mean, it's huge.
Now, stars, like, you, like again, you probably didn't matter. You go into any building, whether they hate you or love you, you play the same.
Because, I actually probably play better on the road.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. But in the NBA, it's noticeable that young teams and reserve players always play better at home, obviously.
Yeah.
You're just more comfortable. You also know you have your crowd behind you. You go to Milwaukee, it's going to be a raucous crowd. They had 20,000 people outside the building.
I saw that.
Watching the game.
I was like, you know, obviously it slowed down a little bit. But I was like, damn, can anybody put on a mask?
Weren't many there, right? But still, like so you know in Milwaukee, the first finals game since 1974. So that city has been waiting
it's
a long
jacked
time
up.
To see
a lot of beer, a lot of cheese.
A lot of
that.
Everything, right? Yeah. It's going to be a lot of emotion, of course, as well. And the Bucks will certainly be able to ride that, and maybe their guys as well. Maybe a guy like Chris Middleton, who has not played well in the first two games, not shot the basketball well. Maybe he gets comfortable again in his building and finds rhythm, because that's really the difference so far in this series. But I don't feel like, you know, it's the cliche. I'll go cliche salad. A series is not a series until someone wins a road game. Like, and that's what really matters most. So this game three, as they always are, pivotal, and it could go back to being a series just based on the fact that the Bucks go home, feel better, because it's not like they got smoked in game two. You know, it was fairly close. The Suns just played really well at home.
But they were bad. They didn't get smoked.
Yeah.
But they gave up 118 again.
They were bad, and the only dude, in my opinion, that really showed up was Giannis.
Yes.
And that was the question, is what can Giannis do? You know, Giannis gave him 42 points. Man, they wasted 42.
Woo.
Wasted. You cannot think, Monica, that they're going to get that same 42 again in game three and think, okay, well, we're going to get 42 and we're going to contribute the same way that we contributed in game two and we're going to come out with a win. That's not going to happen.
5 of 16 for Chris Middleton, 7 of 21 for Drew Holiday. Like, that's ugly. I will say this. For as tough as it has been for the Bucks to find offense, they still cut it to single digits in the fourth, definitely in the third, right? And so you could see where, you know, Connaughton hits a three or two or maybe one less turnover. They are close enough. But what has been so impressive to me is Phoenix's ability to respond every single time. And so they don't allow the Bucks to get any closer. I mean, yesterday going into the pregame show on ESPN Radio, we talked about timely buckets in game one, because technically Phoenix didn't shoot the three particularly well in game one, but they hit timely threes. And this game, they shot 50% from three, and they were super on time. So it's a tall task for the Bucks. I will say this. Obviously, they've been here before. Middleton, we know, plays better at home. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he plays that much better. And to Key's point, it just feels like Phoenix is the team that takes themselves with them wherever they go. And so they're not going to be fazed by going on the road.
And when you mentioned Phoenix and you keep saying team, the team, right? I mean, you talk about definition of team. Like, there's something special going on with this group. There's no doubt about it. With Chris Paul as sort of their, you know, not sort of, as their leader on the floor, mm-hmm. Monty Williams as the coach that you could tell they all believe in. There is a confidence about this group that you can see that it is a bit precocious for a team. What's the average age, Monica, you tell me?
The starters. It's
what did
like
you just
four
say?
Starters under 24.
What's that?
Precocious?
Precocious. Yeah, you yourself were a precocious neophyte your rookie season.
That's certainly
I'm not a writer. So.
Spelling bee words.
Yes, okay.
So let's go to Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
Know your audience.
Chris Paul talking about them being there, his first time, too, at the NBA Finals on the big stage. And the point is for them staying together as a team, staying locked in and believing in the system, stay in the moment.
I do a pretty good job of staying in the moment. You know, maybe a lot of the guys on our team, this is their first playoff series. You know, they don't know the heartache or the heartbreak. They just out there playing. So for me, I know how quick things can change. I know how a possession or a play can change the dynamics of an entire series. So for me, I don't get too high. I don't get too low. I just stay even keel. It wasn't always like that, you know, but I know that these situations don't happen every day.
I love he acknowledged the fact that early in his career he probably wouldn't be able to stay even keeled, but after his experience he can, and that's the example he sets for the rest
of his
career.
That's just growth. That's all that is. Like you said, all the heartbreak and the experience that he's gone through, now he can manage his emotions whenever that time comes up. Interesting thing, though, as I watched that highlight, he hit a corner three. He's hitting corner threes.
Assisted by Devin Booker.
Chris Paul doesn't hit corner threes. He's pulling up at the elbow. He's pulling up from the top of the key. He's not hitting corner threes, so everything is going in Phoenix way.
Exactly.
Clearly.
This is a comfortable team right now, and Milwaukee's got to figure out how to make them uncomfortable, and maybe playing on the road could do that. That was Straight Talk, brought by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So as we mentioned, the Suns are two games away from winning a title. That franchise, that fan base, certainly getting ready to celebrate a championship. What other franchise fans deserve to see their team win a championship the most? We'll discuss that coming up next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, ESPN2, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
The Suns halfway to a championship, beating the Bucks in game two.
You waste an effort from Giannis Antetokounmpo, who was nothing short of sensational. They got to show up.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That video?
Very much
yeah.
So. The large trash bag look.
Must be Friday
in the Northeast. We're getting a lot of that rain. There's no doubt about it. But the sun is shining in Phoenix, and it's heading to Milwaukee. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Q Rich, we got Q Rich right this hour? Yeah, we got him coming up in a few minutes, so really? We'll talk with him about this stuff. But, you know, we were talking about the fact that – all right, so Suns fans – the Suns have been to the finals before, but this is as close as it feels like they will get to a championship.
That was the Kevin Johnson Barkley years.
Yeah, that one, and then against the Celtics a bunch of years ago as well. But you have – but what you have now is a fan base that has, you know, been waiting for a championship.
Starving.
Arizona's had the Diamondbacks, you remember that, of course, 2001 against the Yankees. But
the big unit.
What a series that was. But when we talk about now, are we going franchise or are we going fan base?
We went through this already.
I know we did. Fan base more than franchise. What franchise desperately needs to win a championship?
Franchise, because fan base is an entire city, in my opinion.
It's beyond cities. Some teams.
Well, yeah, it's beyond cities. So just concentrate on the franchise.
You want me to
concentrate? One building.
Focus.
One building with the one general manager and the head coach, just that particular
spot.
Wait
a minute. City in your mind means that a person from New York roots for all the New York teams.
No, it spills over, though. Even if they tell you they're not a Brooklyn Nets fan,
right?
Because they're a Knicks fan.
Uh-huh.
Silently, they would take the satisfaction of a Nets team winning because
you must be out of your mind. Are you out of your mind?
I was like, that's wow.
But we're not going to turn this into New York. We're not going to do.
You
that.
Did. I should use DC as an example.
No, you did. By
you, do you
awful,
rather?
That's an
so
awful
let me ask
example.
You a question though before I move on.
Oh, I'm not moving on because I'm going
to. Did you take any satisfaction whatsoever, Mr. Hahn, at all? When the New York Giants defeated the New England Patriots out of the AFC East in the Super Bowl, did you take any satisfaction? It's a simple question, yes or no.
Yes, I did.
Okay, move along.
Where's the? I was like,
there's
where's the
no
judge
connection,
music?
Though.
No, there
to
is
the Nets.
It's
None.
A connection.
No,
no, it's a
no.
New York. I just gave you a New York connection.
That's one.
You
that doesn't exist in any other
you,
sport.
I
in
gave
New York.
You a New York I connection.
See, I do think that's different when it comes to basketball.
I gave you
and
a
baseball.
New York connection
and baseball.
But I gave you
if
a
no Yankee fan rooting for the Mets is no Met fan.
I gave
the
you. I gave you a connection.
Okay, there's one.
That's all I need.
You
to
said.
Prove my point. I gave you a connection, which is the city or the New York Giants.
So when the Clippers win a
New
championship,
York.
You're like, well, at least it's Ooh. LA.
No, I'm like, okay, whatever. I don't care.
That's exactly.
But at least they did.
The
win.
Giant thing involved the fact that the biggest rival who I couldn't stand in the Patriots, I didn't want to see them win. So it was like, oh, well, a New York team wins and Tom Brady and the Patriots don't. Okay, I'm good with that.
Yes.
That made it easy.
So you still take satisfaction toward it. But look. But
Giants, Baltimore Ravens in 2000? No.
Well.
I'm not feeling that a year after the Jets get to the AFC Championship.
I'm not feeling that. Anyway.
This is – okay, we digress.
All right, yeah, let's move on.
That's why I said anyway.
Yeah, anyway is right. All right, so we give you a couple of teams here, and you guys tell me if they deserve – like out of these, who deserves it the most. The easy one is Cleveland Browns.
Yes, Cleveland Browns are for me 100%.
Definitely.
They've been through
a lot. Starving. Like they'll do anything. Even though LeBron James brought them a championship basketball-wise, the football fan base, they're just –
Would you argue the football, though, the Browns, like it's a bigger – even though the Cavs –
Yeah, it's bigger.
LeBron made them big. The Browns in Cleveland is everything, right?
Synonymous.
Everything.
They've been so close.
Cleveland, Akron, that whole area. Mm-hmm.
Think about what happened in the drive, Denver Broncos, back then when they did what they did in the end of that game. John Elway, bam, mm-hmm. I forgot. I think he threw it to Vance Joseph for the touchdown or whatever. And then Mac fumbles the football. Yep. So think about what Cleveland – has gone through in an organization. Like, they've gone through 17,100 coaches.
Up and left at one point. Like, so, yeah, they have certainly been through a lot. Again, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 for you to be part of this conversation.
That's one.
At KJ&Z as well on Twitter.
Two.
How about the Vegas Raiders or just Raiders in general? I don't even put a city in front of Raiders because, as you mentioned, they're not really a fan base from one city. They're all over the West
Brand.
Coast.
Franchise-wise, they need to get a championship because even though it's the Raiders, the value of the franchise, they should be with the Dallas Cowboys value-wise. They should be with the Washington football team value-wise. They really should. At the top of the Forbes list, they should be with the Yankees.
In sports.
They should be with the Lakers, the Dodgers, because much like you just said, the brand. That brand goes all the way. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. I mean, I hear you. You
can walk through any airport, Monica, and you probably will pay attention now because I said it.
Right.
You're going to see people with Raider gear on walking through a Pittsburgh airport.
And I understand that, and I can think of, like, conversations with my dad and all of that, but I didn't still – like, it doesn't feel like they have the same
– You think they're losing it?
To me. And I'm obviously younger than y'all, but, like
– That ain't got nothing to do with
it. No, it does, because I know what you're talking about, and I've seen the videos and watched the history and then Al Davis and a whole bit.
If you don't win for a good 20-something years
– You miss it.
You will lose a whole generation of fans. That is true what Monica's saying, but – Ask Key who the most popular football team is in L.A.
Who's the most popular football team in L.A.?
The Raiders.
Isn't that amazing? They haven't been there in 20 years.
The Raiders
probably more than 20, I should say. More than 20.
Because the Raider connection is across all the way, right? They Hispanic population for them, I mean, fan base,
mm-hmm.
huge. White fan base, huge. Black, huge. Huge. Like, the Raiders is a brand that could travel overseas. Like, literally. But they just haven't been on the radar recently.
It's funny because when I think of, like, Raiders gear, I also think of throwback Georgetown gear. And I think of, those as brands that we saw particularly, like, in black communities and not pop culture, and the culture in terms of the old throwback gear. And Georgetown is the same thing. Like, they haven't necessarily been successful as of late. Shout out to the Big East champs, Big Pat, Patrick Ewing. But, yeah, okay.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You want to give me another one?
Chicago Bears.
Ooh. Well, it's funny because Clinton in Illinois is calling us about that very point. Clinton.
Hello.
How you doing?
I am doing well. How are y'all doing?
Man, it's Friday, man. What you mean?
Exactly.
Man, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
I've been working all week.
Man, I am so happy to hear from y'all. And, yes, the Chicago Bears. If anyone deserves a title, why not us? We've got a brand new quarterback that can't wait to start to hand it off and throw it down the field. And when we get a title, we're going to get another one. Because I'm telling you something, we got two hands, one for one title, the other for the other.
So, Clinton, you are in full-bloom love
then, man. Go on,
with Justin Fields. You believe Justin Fields is going to lead you to that championship?
Yeah, so let me give you a time stamp on that. May not be this year, but I can tell you as long as Matt Nagy and the Bears go ahead and get this right, yeah, let's go ahead and bring that title in. Within the 5 years, but if I'm really pushing it, man, come on, within three.
Within 3 years. Within the five-year rookie deal.
Well, that's good. Okay. He feels passionate about it.
And you should. Thank you, Clint.
Fan is short for fanatic.
Yeah, well, I mean, is it that crazy to think?
Suns are big. I'm just thinking in my head.
Yeah, good. A couple others.
The Suns are big. The Edmonton Oilers in hockey.
Now, stop it.
you did that just for her.
Edmonton Oilers, they've won five Stanley Cups.
Clippers need it bad. Clippers need it bad.
I mean,
I was going to say the Sacramento Kings, but
Wow. But that's deep in there.
They just a team with a uniform. That's a franchise with a uniform. Yeah, they just don't nobody really care
about
them.
Your former New York Jets.
Jets need it in the worst way.
How bad do they need a Super Bowl?
They got Chris Paul tears in them right now. Because Chris Paul, they going to cut it open like a pack of M&Ms when it's over with. It's going to pour all out.
It's going to be such a beautiful moment. It's going 30 for 30 by his production.
I need all the snot out. I need all that when he wins this championship.
Just an absolute mess. We're all going to be a puddle watching it, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we'll continue with your calls on this.
Please stop. Please.
Try not to get too emotional this early in the morning. So what do the Bucks need to do to bounce back in Game 3 of the NBA Finals? What do they need to do to get back in this series? And we can start talking about Giannis winning a championship. We'll discuss that after Monica has this.
I can't believe this dream I had. I won.
You good? For all the ones who get it done, Grainger is always there to help. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Through his legs, pulls up for three. Oh, stop it! CP3, hotter than fish grease.
Truly, he's got to win it in order to surpass and to move up the ranks.
This is Keyshawn J. Will and Zubin.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Chris Paul at half court, dribbling with Holiday draped all over him. Now the switch. Giannis, they find Booker. He's wide open on top for three. He makes it! 31 for Booker. 21 in the second half on their 19th triple.
Mark Kester with the call on ESPN Radio as the Suns take a 2-0 lead in the NBA Finals. 2-0, 2-0, 2-0. That makes more sense. A 118-108 win over the Bucks. Booker goes for 31 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, becomes the fifth youngest player with 30 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists in the last 25 finals. Giannis Antetokounmpo went for 42 points and 12 rebounds in 40 minutes in the loss. The Suns finished with 23 pointers. They were 20 for 40, tied for second most in finals all time. Coverage of Game 3 Sunday begins at 7 p.m. Eastern right here on ESPN Radio. Fury versus Wilder 3 will be rescheduled for later this year, sources confirmed to ESPN after Tyson Fury tests positive for COVID-19. And the fight originally scheduled for July 24th at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, October 9th, now the new targeted date. Dustin Poirier, Conor McGregor are set for UFC 264. McGregor won the first bout, first round TKO in September of 2014. Poirier evened the score with a second-round TKO this past January at UFC 257. UFC 264 exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $69.99. Visit ESPNplus.com/PPV. SportsCenter brought to you by Mako. With Mako and their magic, your car's no longer tragic. If life throws you uh-ohs, just say better get Mako and head to Mako.com to get an online estimate today.
Not me.
Life is good up 2-0 in the finals as it heads now to Milwaukee. And for the Suns and that fan base, two wins away from a long-awaited first NBA title. And the question we've been asking you at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, when you think of franchises and their fan bases, is which one deserves a title the most? The Suns are in that category. Who else should be in that conversation? John is in Denver. Who do you got, John?
Are we talking about the hey, good morning, how are you doing? Are we talking about the NBA Finals, or are we talking about the question we originally discussed?
Yeah, no, the original one. Any team, any sport, any franchise.
Any franchise, any sport, man.
Yeah.
Who you got?
Soccer, cricket, whatever.
Okay,
cricket.
So I mean, I ultimately have the Phoenix Suns winning in seven, but I'm rooting for the Bucks. Going back to your original question, though, I'm a huge Denver Broncos fan. I would like to say the Denver Broncos, thinking of it from a broad spectrum. However, I would have to say the Cowboys, with their expensive roster and always having the you know, I'm just going to go ahead and quote Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith will say what can go wrong will go wrong with the Cowboys. With that expensive roster, they need to capitalize.
So the Cowboys are a team. Now we were going, thanks, John.
Do they deserve?
What does that mean?
We're kind of going deserves.
What do you mean deserves?
Because you just feel like man, they've been through so much. They deserve a championship.
No, I don't feel like the Cowboys deserve a championship.
Why do the
they had a run. And,
like, Cleveland Browns deserve a championship. The Chicago Bears, they deserve a championship. Like the Clippers. Think about it, though. The Clippers. Just think about it. They've never sniffed what it's like to be in the finals ever.
I am stepping away from my Washington football team loyalty and my known Cowboys whatever-ism feeling toward them. I don't understand why they don't deserve one, though, in your mind.
Because
they have.
Washington?
You said the Cowboys don't. Because, well, you said
when
Washington
you walk, because when you walk into Cowboys Stadium or you walk into the facility, the trophies are sitting there, even though they're passed. They still see them.
That was the hell of an era.
So your
criteria,
for sure, your criteria is never done it or hasn't done it in forever and ever and ever.
It's just forever and ever and ever.
Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Ever.
Forever, ever.
Okay.
Forever, ever?
You know?
Forever, ever?
Like the Clippers, they don't even know what it's like.
Right.
Think about it.
Been in the
building. They have no idea.
They haven't even been on the stage.
They have no idea what it's like.
You know what?
I got you. Now that you've clarified the distinction, I'm following.
The Cleveland Browns.
A perfect time to bring in our good friend, Q Rich, Quentin Richardson. Speaking of Clippers, former NBA player, of course, joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Q, good morning. Would you put the Clippers on that list of franchises that, like, deserve a shot at a title, deserve a chance to win a title the most out of any sport, any fan base?
I wouldn't put us very high on that list, but I think I would say that, you know, with the recent changes and the direction we're going in, that we're getting to that point where we deserve it. As far as I think the fans have been deserving it, but I think from an organizational standpoint, you know, we now can start, you know, capping on those years.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what Q's saying.
I get it too.
I get it. But it's
previous
just
ownership didn't deserve. Yeah, didn't deserve.
Yeah, previous ownership. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They didn't deserve.
I didn't want to see him enjoy that at all.
No,
right.
No question about that.
Q handled that very tactfully.
Of course. I mean,
he's a pro.
He's been there, done that before. Speaking of championships and deserving, Phoenix is up 2-0 now, getting ready to head on the road to Milwaukee in three. Is this over with now? Is it a wrap, or is too early to say that?
Yeah, I absolutely believe it's too early to say that it's a wrap and it's over, because Milwaukee, like you say, Phoenix did exactly what they were supposed to do. No matter what fashion it was done, they protected their home court and won the two games. Now Milwaukee has to go back home to Milwaukee and, you know, regroup, try and re-strategize and come back out and do the same thing on the next floor.
What's the most impressive thing you've seen so far from the Suns outside of what I would call their big three?
I would say Bridges, man. Yeah. Bridges, and I'm most impressed with Bridges and Crowder. For one, Crowder, I love the fact. I mean, you know, Key, I'm a OG. I love the veteran leadership he brings to the team. I love the toughness he brings to the team. I love the mentality and disposition that he brings to the team. He has a toughness and a physicality to him, and a no back down and a no nonsense to him that I love and I feel like teams need. And then when you look at what Bridges is doing, he's been an X factor between, you know, his defense, the length that he has, and the ability he has to impact Middleton defensively and some other guys. But I mean, his shooting and scoring and being that other guy who's just gonna make shots and make plays, whether it's a slash to the basket or offensive rebound or a great defensive play, he's just been very impactful in that X factor role, and they haven't really had an answer for him.
One thing we keep hearing from the Suns squad, Q, is the accountability, the way that they are able to check one another, push one another. I know that's not something you can quite quantify when you look at a box score, but how special is it to have this young group that really just kind of has leaned into letting Chris Paul take the reins and show them how to get to the promised land?
It's unbelievable. I really believe it starts with Monty, though. It was a really good clip last night in the game from a timeout when you could see DeAndre Ayton was kind of down on himself because this was probably the most he struggled to this point right now in the playoffs. He's been pretty dominant, had his way a lot, and he was having kind of a tough time. It was great to see Monty have a great coaching moment with him, letting him know that, hey, you're disappointed in yourself right now because you set the bar so high. And don't think that you can't go out there and reach that level. But, you know, also don't believe that you have to do it statistically. You can go dominate the game and impact the game with your force. And it was just great to see him. He had his head down. He made him look up at him. He leaned into him. And you could tell that was really coaching. As a player, as a player, that's what you need and that's what you love to see from your coaches.
Speaking of coaching, Q, I want you to listen to something Stephen A. Said last night on SportsCenter after game two, something we have been talking a lot about with on the Bucks side of things with Mike Budenholzer. And I just want to get your reaction to it. But first, take a listen to it. Here's Stephen A.
You see Devin Booker hitting shots early, okay, from three-point range, and assistant coaches are looking to talk to Budenholzer, and Budenholzer's not even listening to them, okay? He's not making any in-game adjustments. That was a pivotal problem as far as I'm concerned. We can look at Jrue Holiday and no 7-for-21 shooting. He was absolutely awful offensively. Middleton, he really needs to look in the mirror. When Pat Connaughton has more points than you coming off the bench, he had 14, you had 11, even though you took six more shots. That's incredibly problematic. You waste an effort from Giannis Antetokounmpo, who was nothing short of sensational, and primarily because you didn't make the necessary in-game adjustments. It's like any time you throw a monkey wrench into the plan that Budenholzer had coming into it, then he seems to be a bit flummoxed.
Now, we look at players and we say, well, they got to make shots, right? You talk about Middleton, he's got to make shots. Jrue Holiday's got to make shots. Giannis can't do it all by himself. But what Stephen A. is saying, and a lot of people say this about Budenholzer, is that adjustments-wise, he has not been good. As a player, do you look to your coach and say, hey, what are we doing? And if you're not, and if he doesn't make an adjustment, does that affect the team's mentality?
I can't say that I'm arguing with some of the stuff you just said. And if I'm a player, we do look to our coaches for the adjustments. But, I mean, the one thing I will say, I feel that the Coach Bud, he made adjustments from game one to two. But I think the key word in that sentence was in-game adjustments. And that's what we haven't seen him do. Because I think I applaud him for the way and the style in which he switched guarding the pick and roll last night. They started off very aggressive with Chris Paul. And anybody in the pick and roll, but the thing was they were getting over the pick and roll and fighting through and staying with them. But the thing that I think stands out when they talk about in-game adjustments was that they, to a fault, they stuck to the plan. Sometimes you would see the screen, you know, a few steps over half court, which is way too high to be fighting over a screen or getting over. At that point, you should redirect and go under because he's too high. Unless it's Steph Curry or somebody pulling up from half court, you shouldn't be going over a screen out there. And they continued to do that, you know, deep into the second half after, you know, Phoenix adjusted and playing it differently, they continued to fight over. And that's where Chris Paul began to shake loose a little bit and get to his mid-range and get downhill. And I think that was a point where it really stuck out to me. He's not changing up. He's not making in-game adjustments with this.
Quinn Richardson joining us here this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Q, let me ask you this question because Hans seems to, I don't know, he's batting around in his head a little bit and trying to convince me that certain things could happen. Chris Paul wins the championship right off into the sunset. His deal is up. He can exercise out. Does he go back to Los Angeles and team up with LeBron James and Anthony Davis and back home in L.A. where his family is at, or does he stay in Phoenix to ride this thing all the way out?
Call me crazy, man, but I think he stays put, especially if they win a championship. I mean, I don't see how you walk away from, you know, defending the title in the same place. And then, you know, some of these relationships and bonds that I feel like he's got, I feel like what he has with Monty Williams is what makes this season possible. The relationship that him and Devin Booker, you know, bonded right away and hit off. I think that's why they're able to have this season. And same thing with DeAndre Ayton. I think those things will be too much. I think as long as everything contractually works out the way he wants it to, I think all of those other things, especially if they really win the title, I don't see him going anywhere.
See, I would think that's his out, right? Got your ring. You know, that would be the out. If they don't win the championship, I feel like I still owe, you know, maybe owe you some time. But I got you your ring, and now it's like, let me just finish up playing with LeBron, playing in L.A., right closer to home. But, you know, again, as Key always says, that's why I'm a reporter and not a player. I think of it always as for the story. What's the better story? But, Q, I just want to shout out your podcast, Knuckleheads Podcast, you and Darius Miles. It's always a must-listen because it's a lot of fun. And I know you had LJ on recently, Grandmama telling those stories. It's always a good listen. So we always love having you on. Thanks, my man.
All right, Q.
Thanks for waking up early, Q.
All right, Quinn Richardson again, a Clipper. He played a lot of different teams, but as he mentioned, the Clippers, I thought it was a funny way he put it. Like, yeah, maybe now more deserving, but there was a time, not
very
so
tactical.
Much.
Clearly a bad owner.
But we are
not
asking.
A bad owner, think, a bad dude.
I mean, maybe the worst possible owner ever. But let's not do that ranking.
Yeah,
let's instead ask the question that we've been asking, and we've asked you, we asked everybody else.
Top five bad owners.
Yeah.
The list.
The list.
888-729-3776. Fan bases, franchises that deserve a championship the most, ones that have just been through so much, that have suffered, been through a lot, and you're like, man, they got to get one. Just give them one because they really deserve it. Let's go to Preston in Baltimore. Preston.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's happening?
Good morning.
Morning. I'm thinking about this. I'm living in Baltimore, but I'm from PA originally, a big Pittsburgh fan. You guys haven't really talked about the Pirates at all. If you think about it, probably, what, 5-10 years ago, when they made the playoffs with Burnett, McCutcheon, all those guys, that city was going nuts.
Yeah.
And then, like, now, I mean, granted, the owner probably doesn't deserve it the way he's handling this situation, but the fan base, I think they're one of the big ones that deserve it.
That's the thing. You're right. Pittsburgh, by the way, fantastic sports town. Fantastic sports town. Love going there to cover whether it was a Steelers game or Penguins. I've never covered a Pirates game, but that franchise, man.
Because I ain't talked about the Pirates at all ever in my life.
Ever.
Since Bill Matlock and
well, we are family.
Yeah, right? We are family since then. Willie Stargell now.
Yeah.
That's the last time I mentioned a Pirate.
So this is a great answer then.
What was so cold about that, though, back in the day is like the Raiders, the Cowboys,
Dave Parker,
everything.
Dave Parker, all those dudes.
Wow.
I mean, Barry Bonds played
Barry Bonds. That, the Pirates jerseys was like an national type situation. People would rock the jerseys and
Chuck
hats.
Chuck D always used to wear the black Pirates hat with the P, for obvious reason, Public Enemy. So he would wear that all the time. Like, that was a cool.
The Pirates
talking about a brand.
Had,
they were
the
once
ones
a brand.
That had the stripe
with
around the tights. Yeah. Oh, I had a couple of those.
Hey, James Steele is a huge Pittsburgh guy. Loves his Penguins. What about the Pirates, man?
Yeah, the fan base definitely deserves a title. The franchise does not.
Because they're
terrible.
Yeah, they're
it's an awful.
They're a development program for other franchises.
It is an awful.
Think about it. Skinny Barry Bonds, man.
Absolutely terribly.
Yeah, they do not run that franchise
well at all. I feel like if you start to parse this question, though, you could come to that conclusion a lot of times.
Well, that's why we said deserves.
But if
fans do, but there's a franchise. That's why you
can't. But see, the problem is,
for what I've gone through as a Pirate fan for pretty much my entire life, I deserve it.
You do.
but like it's even hard to root for them now because they're just run so poorly.
But at least you feel good about something in your life because of the Chiefs.
Yeah, I do like the Chiefs. Yeah,
so Penguins, Pirates, Chiefs.
I got a couple titles with the Penguins here recently. Yes. and the Super Bowl.
Sydney
with the
was
Chiefs.
Gifted
so like,
some cups.
But like as a Pirate fan. Like, I would really like to see them win a World Series, but it's just never going to happen.
Because you just dislike the way the franchise is being run.
Whenever they made the postseason back in, it was 2013, my wife and I went to the wildcard game, one of the greatest sports nights of my life.
And, this music?
And I thought that they were going somewhere, and then they are just run terribly.
Fans.
They hurt me. I've been emotionally abused by the Pirates for the entirety of my life.
Are you seeing a therapist? Is the question.
I might need to. Well, yeah. I mean, it might be the basis of all my anxiety about my entire life is just my relationship with the Pirates.
Would you trade one of your Penguin Stanley Cups for a Pirates World Series appearance?
No.
Appearance.
That no, means not
you have
appearance.
At least have a National League crown. You have a pennant.
No way.
You got enough Stanley Cups there with the Penguins. You can give one back, can't you?
Not for an appearance.
Why you suffer. That's on you. Yeah. This is why you suffer.
Maybe I consider it for a World Series title, not for just an appearance.
Nah. See, I blame you now. See, Steele,
I'm surprised that's your logic.
What are you blaming me for? I didn't do anything.
Nah, you can sacrifice one lousy cup for an appearance in the World Series. My goodness.
All right.
See, appearance? You get selfish
I'm
and greedy.
I'm surprised that you, Han, appearance?
He's got a bunch of them. He's got five of them. You can give one back for an appearance for your other team.
It means you were the best runner-up.
It has to be a title.
You still won a National League pennant.
But then you're still going to be emotionally
and then,
torn.
Right, and then you're going to be like you talking about we were right
but
there. Should I feel better?
At least you get the franchise back.
I don't know. I'm surprised that you
he's being greedy with his cups. That's why your team loses. Let's go with another team here. Let's see. Kevin in New Jersey said that Key has missed one. Go ahead, Kevin.
Who did I miss?
He ain't going to tell you.
Key.
Yo.
Key, are you crazy?
No, tell
me. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. Come on, Kevin.
Speak up.
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
You said that. We said that.
Where were you? I said Jets. You got to wake up earlier. I said Jets.
The Jets definitely
I said
are
the Jets. I said absolutely.
That deserves this.
I said the Jets I want to see the Jets win because it's all bottled up just like Chris Paul. You cut the bag open and it's a bunch of M&Ms falling out. That's exactly where it is in the heart of the Jets. Yes. If you cut them open, all those tears and frustration over the years – just the crying, I was a part of a team that was 1-15. It was funny, though. We're 1-15. And I remember walking through the tunnel, and it was like empty, though. It was probably 20,000 Jet fans in the stands. And
an 80,000 seat stadium.
It was horrible, right? Dudes with bags on their face with the little tears. I'm walking through the tunnel. Dude took off. He was screaming and hollering. You could hear him. Y'all suck. Dude took off the bag. You too. You're a wasted draft pick. And I was just like, hey, man, I just got here. What do I have to do with this? But I get
don't
it.
Blame me.
I'll never forget a season.
Bags over the face.
At the end of the season, the team is like, you guys, I don't think you were on that team. This was years. I was younger. But another one of these, you know, team sucks. Season's over. You know, they're walking through the tunnel the last game. And a guy was holding a sign, "We still believe." Right? He's holding a sign, "We still believe." And he looks down and he starts tearing the sign up and he throws it down like all this stuff shatters, like all this like confetti. But he was so just disgusted, like the last guy that believed, not anymore.
It was so bad. It was
pain.
It was so bad. We won that one little poor game in Arizona. You thought we won a Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. It's funny because last year, Arizona my partner Cass on our MSGPM show, he was very proudly the captain of the tank ship. He called himself the tank commander. God, so when they actually won, he was like, oh, no.
We had a caller. we'll get back to calls on this a little bit later on the show. We had a caller that brought up the Bills. You talk about a fan base that's been through some pain.
Oh, my gosh.
How do you go to four Super Bowls and not win one?
And four in a row.
One! Yes!
So close.
And they were close in one, Norwood. The rest of them, they got smoked in. I mean, they got blown out in the rest of them.
But that's the key's point about how hard it is to actually get there.
How hard it is to get there and to win one. And, of course, now for the Bucs, should they be concerned about a sweep? We'll discuss that next.